Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the synagogue of Satan. In our last program, we defined the synagogue of Satan as being the assembly of people under the influence of Satan. And we know from the scriptures that the Apostle John labeled the Jewish persecutors of Christians as the synagogue of Satan, because they were assembled together under the influence of Satan. And Satan influenced the synagogue of Jews to falsely accuse the brethren. And the brethren are the true Christians. So this synagogue of Satan, who were the Jewish persecutors of Christians, caused persecution to come upon the Christians by falsely accusing them of two things. Number one, they falsely accused Christians of serving a false god, or serving the true God in a false manner. And then the second false accusation they hurled against Christians was saying that we do not serve the civil authorities. And in our last program, we covered that first false accusation, that Christians served a false God or served the true God in a false manner. And so in today's program, we're going to see how this synagogue of Satan leveled false accusations against the church by claiming that the Christians were not serving the civil authorities. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 17, and we'll read in verses 1 through 8. This is Acts chapter 17 and verses 1 through 8. Traveling through Amphipolis and Apollonia, Paul and Silas came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Verse 2. And according to Paul's custom, he went into them and reasoned with them out of the scriptures on three consecutive Sabbaths, setting forth that Christ had to suffer, then die on the cross, and then rise to life again from the grave, and that Jesus is Christ. Some of them believed and joined themselves together with Paul and Silas, both a great multitude of the worshiping Greeks and quite a few of the chief women. But the disobeying Jews became jealous and took aside some wicked men to do what? To falsely accuse. That's what this synagogue of Satan does. These people that are assembled under the influence of Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren, he stirs up people to falsely accuse true Christians of various things. And so in this case, these disobeying Jews, they became jealous, seeing that there were many Greeks and some of the chief women who were agreeing with Paul and Silas, beginning to believe the truth of the gospel. So they became jealous, and they took aside some wicked men to falsely accuse Paul and Silas. And they gathered a crowd around, and they set all the city in an uproar. Afterwards, they came to the house of Jason, seeking to bring Paul and Silas out to the mob. But not finding them, they drew Jason and certain disciples before the city judges, crying. Now listen to what they said. This is the false accusation about not serving the civil authorities. So they brought these disciples before the city judges, crying, "These men who have turned the world upside down, now they've come here too. And this Jason has received them. And these all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, this Jesus the Christ, whom they are preaching." And see, that's what the false accusation was, is they were saying that they, these true Christians, had turned the world upside down, and now they were come to this place to turn their world upside down. And they're saying that these people, they act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, this Jesus whom they preach. Now that's a false accusation in the sense that Jesus taught his disciples to give unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Jesus also taught his disciples to be the best citizens, to be subject to the authorities. And so this idea that these people from the synagogue of Satan were saying is that there's another king, this Jesus whom they preach. In other words, implying that the Christians were trying to subvert Caesar, that they were trying to take over. But Jesus also said that those who live by the sword are going to die by the sword. Put away the sword. We should be preaching and teaching and living the way of peace. And so they were false accusations. And it says in verse 8 that these false accusers were successful in troubling the crowd and the city judge. And so sometimes we may have people who falsely accuse us, and we will have to stand up and give our testimony. Now, we might not be believed, and we might even have to die for our beliefs. And this has happened in the past. In fact, one of the most infamous Christian martyrdoms happened in Smyrna. What we're reading about here is this letter that Jesus wrote to the church at Smyrna. And we've been reading in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, where it talks about the church in Smyrna. And so one of the most infamous Christian martyrdoms happened in Smyrna. Polycarp was the bishop of Smyrna, and he was martyred on Saturday, February 23rd in 155 AD. It was the time of the public games, and the city was crowded, and the crowds were excited. And then suddenly, the shout went up, "Away with the atheists!" Because Polycarp was very well known. He was very bold. He spoke the truth very boldly. And so he was very well known. And people said, "Away with the atheists!" See, they accused him, Polycarp, who was a true follower of God, who knew the one God, and yet they were claiming that he was an atheist. And they said, "Away with the atheist. Let Polycarp be searched for." And no doubt Polycarp could have escaped, but already he had had a dream and a vision in which he saw the pillow under his head burning with fire, and he awakened to tell his disciples that "I must be burned alive." Now his whereabouts were betrayed by a slave who collapsed under torture. And so when the people came to arrest him, he ordered that they should be given a meal and provided with all that they wished. And all Polycarp asked for was the privilege of one last hour in prayer. That's the type of faith that this person had. He said, "Listen, I don't love my life so much that I'm scared to lose it." You remember what Jesus said, that those who seek to save their lives will lose it, and those who are willing to lose their lives will gain eternal life. Well, that's what Polycarp was focused on, was staying faithful and true to our Lord, while at the same time obeying the officials, as long as they weren't telling him to do something contrary to the will of God. So again, we should be the best citizens that there are. You know, if as long as we're not being taught to break any rules that are contrary to God's way of life, we can follow everything that the government stands for. So that's what Christ told his disciples. That's what Polycarp believed. But when it came to him recanting his love for Christ, no, he would not do that. He was not trying to save his life. He was willing to die for the cause, not just because. And so they came, and he said, "Please, just give me one last hour in prayer." And then on a brief journey to the city, the police captain actually asked Polycarp, saying, "What harm is it to say that Caesar is Lord and to offer sacrifice and be saved?" That's how you can get out of this, is just say, "Caesar, you are Lord," and then offer sacrifices to Caesar. That's what you can do to escape the certain death penalty. But Polycarp was adamant that for him only Jesus Christ was Lord. See, so when it comes to idolatry, if somebody says you have to forsake Jesus Christ as Lord and claim that Caesar is Lord, no, you can't do that, because that's idolatry. So he wouldn't stand for that. And when he entered the arena, there came a voice from heaven saying, "Be strong, Polycarp, and play the man." And then the proconsul gave him the choice of cursing the name of Christ and making sacrifice to Caesar, or he would have to face death. And this is Polycarp's response. 86 years have I served Yeshua, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me?" So as Polycarp had dreamed, he was burned alive. But that was okay, because he knew that that was not the end of life. That was not being burned in the lake of fire. That's what we have to be worried about, is not being burned at the stake. We need to be concerned about being burned at the lake of fire, because being burned at the stake, that's just the first death, from which you can be resurrected. But being burned in the lake of fire, that's the second death, from which there is no resurrection. And so he was not concerned about that. You remember when Jesus said, "Listen, don't fear those who can burn the body. Fear the one who can burn the body and the soul." That's what we need to fear. And that is God, not Caesar, not any of our false accusers. Yes, we may die, but we still need to be bold. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1, God says that we should offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And let me ask you the question, since we're talking about these letters to the seven churches being Jesus' evaluation of the seven churches, and Smyrna is known as the persecuted church. More than anything, this was the hallmark of the church at Smyrna, is they were persecuted. And he says, Jesus says of them, that he knows their tribulation and their poverty, but really that they are rich, because they were rich in faith. They were rich in putting all of their trust in Jesus Christ, no matter what the circumstances, even if it meant going to the point of death. So Jesus says that we should be a living sacrifice, but also we should be willing to be a dying sacrifice. So how are you doing in that area? Of course, I have to ask myself the same question. How am I doing in that area? When it comes to proclaiming the gospel, do I back down when somebody opposes me? When it comes to speaking the truth, yes, speaking the truth in love, but speaking it firmly, do I back down when others oppose me, when it's not the popular thing, or do I speak the truth? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And you know, if you've been listening to this program, the ABCs of the Bible, that I speak the truth and speak it boldly, even though it may not be popular. I speak the truth and speak it boldly, because that's what God has called us to. And so I hope that that is the way that you feel. That's the way of life that you live. And if you haven't been living that way, I hope that this program has motivated you to speak the truth boldly. We have to stand up against the synagogue of Satan, because we are the church of God. And the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. And also Jesus says that I have spoken these things to you so that you might have peace in me. In the world you shall have tribulation. The synagogue of Satan will cause you to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And because Jesus is living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have that same assurance that we shall overcome the world. Well, thank you for joining me on this program. I hope you'll join me on the next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.